This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
It won't have escaped everyone's attention that homelessness in Melbourne is a serious, serious issue, and in the city, a very, very visible issue. We've seen during the week Lord Mayor go from saying, I don't want to move the homeless off the streets, to the council's going to enact a new bylaw potentially that will allow the police to remove them. We saw the police commissioner, Graham Ashton, going feral, basically, on homelessness. I was really quite surprised at the nastiness and the viciousness of his comments, not worthy of a police commissioner. Particularly when, he's there to uphold the law, not create dissent. Emma King is the CEO of VCOS. Good morning, Emma. How are you?
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Macca.
Good morning.
Look, I'm very confused about this, Emma. You might be able to help me.
Yeah.
We've had, we all are impacted by homelessness. We all see it. Those of you who work with it are impacted by it directly. There are so many reasons that people are homeless that most of us don't understand. What is missing here is, okay, we've got the Australian Open on, it's not a good look, but all of a sudden this has become such an issue, and we're going to be speaking to Robert Doyle after yourself, but I'm quite pissed off by what the police commissioner said and the way that he said it. And what he inferred about some of these people, this is not helpful to the debate. And it's a debate that has a lot of rancour in it anyway. But
Emma, the longest question you've ever been asked.
Yeah, what is going on here? What has been the trigger for this?
Look, I think you've raised some really important points in your introduction. As you said, there's been a lot of backflipping going on this week. And there seems to be this notion that's being suggested that you can kind of arrest people out of homelessness, or that moving people on is going to solve the problem, and it's not. And as you say, we're seeing the visible number of people who are homeless in the CBD certainly shines a spotlight on homelessness. It is an absolute issue in itself, but there is also a much bigger issue at play, and that is that there's about 22,000 people who are homeless on any given night in Victoria. And at the same time, we've got, social housing waiting lists. There are about, if you go into register today, you're going to be, number 33,001. So your prospect of getting a house is really difficult. And the media coverage over recent days has been nothing short of horrific. We have seen outrageous claims being made about people who are pretending to be homeless, as you've really pointed out in your introduction. I find it pretty extraordinary that to say that, so of any given night in Victoria, we've got 22,000 people who are homeless. Many of them are escaping issues around family violence. So we've got lots of people couch surfing, sleeping in cars, as well as those who are more visible. And to suggest that they are pretending to be homeless is offensive. It's not, people don't sleep rough for fun. It isn't fun. And I'm not sure why on Thursday, when Robert Doyle came out and said, we need to address the problem, not just do a cosmetic clean-up, we publicly praised him for that stance. But
by the next day, he backtracked.
He then came out and said, well, now I'm going to promise a crackdown. I'm going to pass new bylaws to move on the homeless. That's, in my opinion, that is a failure of leadership. You don't move on the homeless. That is not the solution to the problem. The solution is actually long-term housing with support, and that is an investment. And just to touch on, because I'm also giving you a very long answer to your question, it's interesting. When I, in reading, I just want to point this out because I think it's useful to the debate. Infrastructure Victoria last year released their report around the infrastructure priorities for the whole of Victoria. and they have named affordable housing in their top three priorities. And they, and from their report, they say, well, you know, the cost of improving the provision of housing for vulnerable Victorians is significant, but not acting comes at a much greater cost to society and the economy, which will be felt by generations to come, and that this is not a future we can accept. So I think that Infrastructure Victoria is right, and I too am very disappointed by the backflipping we've seen and the kind of language we've seen that was highlighted yesterday.
Emma, it's Pete here. I can't understand, first of all, how you can create homelessness as a criminal offence. You can't. An offence is committed with some intent. People don't intend or actually choose to be homeless. I think one of the, there's been a lot of discussion this week around cause and reason, but I think one of the things we seem to ignore is how we can effectively create solutions. There are great tracts of land, and I saw last week a project that's being undertaken by a philanthropist in concert with Maribyrnong, I think it's Maribyrnong Council, where vacant land is going to host a series of or a bunch of small, like tiny houses, I suppose, if we were watching the Lifestyle Channel. When you've got places like Peter Mac Hospital, the former cancer hospital, that is sitting there empty, it has facilities. It will probably need some security, but it has facilities to immediately provide a short-term solution to people who are without somewhere to sleep. Is there a thought within your sector? And sorry, this is also a very long question. Is there a thought within your sector around some of the immediate and short-term solutions around providing provision of housing?
Yeah, and you raise a really good point because, and I would also like to acknowledge, I mean, the government, the Victorian government, has made a significant investment in housing, particularly as part of the family violence reform work, and it is really important to acknowledge that. And the project that you've just pointed to is a really great initiative. So it's freeing up some of Vic Road's land, and it's combining that with a philanthropic investment, and government has funded Launch Housing to provide, as you say, and it's also not just about the provision of homes on that land, it's also about the services that sit around that. So it's around making sure that the people who move into those properties, if they have mental health issues, for example, there's support there for them. So it's not just moving people into a house where there is no support around, because that's one of the challenges that we often see. And this comes out, you know, we can move people on out of Melbourne, but where they go, if we move them to the end of the train tracks, they're away from support, they're away from any friends or social connections that they might have. And it is really important that when we look at long-term solutions, we don't just think about moving someone to a space where they'll probably feel more isolated and less supported. We actually need to look at what supports we put around people. And when you look internationally at the programs that have worked, they look at actually how they provide someone that can kind of help a person who's been homeless navigate the system. And that important part that we all need, and that is being part of a community. We need to feel safe and we need to be part of a community. And I watched the Homelessness Union has done a clip of filming the people down at Flinders Street and listening to a number of those clips. And I'm always mindful, you know, I'm not homeless, so I'm here commentating on the statistics, et cetera. But I think it's really important to listen to the voices of the people who are actually experiencing it. And, you know, the common sort of themes around, well, you know, I feel safe, and we connect with one another. I think that really highlights the need to, first of all, feel safe. We all want to feel safe. And if you're out on your own, on a street out in a, you know, in a growth area, for example, you're not, how do you feel safe? And that importance of being part of a community is really critical. So I guess I just want to draw attention to that it is part of, you know, affordable housing is our great social and economic challenge. And alongside that, though, is the importance of what having, if you like, wraparound services.
Yeah, you've got to have that.
So how do we make sure? Yeah.
It's a good point, Emma. I wanted briefly to touch on Centrelink and what's going on there. I mean, if we're going to make homelessness an eagle, is the next thing is to start jailing people for debt? Which used to, you know, which happened in the 19th century.
They might not even have, can I just point out. So when, really, this is a fishing expedition to guilt everyday Australians into paying what are, many of which are bogus debts. We know that there's every week in Australia, there's 4,000 incorrect notices going out every week to people who are disabled, unemployed, excuse me, on youth benefits, families, pensioners.
You said 4,000 a week, Emma.
It's a robo-recovery operation, basically. It's wrong. The idea that government's kind of booked savings and then is going looking for them is wrong. I don't know how anyone can justify the issuing of bogus debt notices to people and making them prove that they don't owe that money. So the onus is proof is flipped. And government's thick-headed refusal to admit that this is a debacle to stop and to apologise is dead wrong. It is outrageous.
I mean, a politician, a minister can claim expenses and say I'm wrong.
With their nose in the trough.
You know, while they're all, you know, in the trough. All parties, all of them, every single one of them, and the ones that know me, yes, I'm talking about you too. Reality is, you know, it is a fishing expedition. The problem here is that Centrelink is being aided and abetted by debt collection agencies, and I many years ago worked in that industry, and we used to refuse to do that work. Because the information was always wrong.
It's morally corrupt.
And yeah, you know, so the problem here is that people have to prove that they don't owe the money.
That's right.
And
the government is failing in its duty of care to welfare recipients. Imagine if you had a private creditor, as you say, or a bank sending out notifications about, you know, mortgage defaults that were wrong and they were sending out 4,000 a week. It defies comprehension. And it's a disgrace. So we've got a government that's targeting vulnerable people who've done nothing wrong. And we've got, you know, for example, we know that there's people who are undergoing cancer treatment who are scrambling around trying to find paperwork to prove that they don't owe money that they don't owe.
And I mean,
I don't know how that's okay.
And I mean, none of us have any problem. If people have been overpaid or they've received a benefit they shouldn't have, none of us have a problem with that being recovered. But the way that it's being done, and this throw the big net and let's see what we catch, and doing it on the basis that they know that most people aren't able, you know, to defend themselves in this. It's appalling.
That's appalling.
That's right. And particularly given that when you think, if you're someone who receives the family benefits, for example, all those payments are reconciled at the end of the taxation year anyway. So it doesn't really make sense. And government is always incredibly overly optimistic in what they think they can regain from overpaid welfare payments, remembering that people on welfare don't actually get much money, $38 a day if you're on the dole. So there's not really billions of dollars to be recouped there. And the point that you alluded to earlier, and I'm not blaming every politician, but at the same time, you know, when we've seen the last couple of weeks, an incredible number of MPs who seem to be, you know, they're flying their families around the country at taxpayer expense and a whole host of other things. So we're seeing this misuse of MP entitlements while we're targeting vulnerable people who've done nothing wrong. And I think, you know, when we talk about the pub test, this whole piece
fails it entirely.
It's the trough test.
the trough test, I think that's right.
Emma, we do need to move along. Thank you for your time this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That's Emma King. She's the CEO of the VCOS, Victorian Council of Social Services.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.